Welcome to All Caring Conversations, your health and wellness matters. I'm your host, Tracy Dawn Brewer. I'm so excited about this episode as it surrounds the solar eclipse coming up. We have two wonderful doctors from Altman College discussing this phenomenon, and I'm anxious for you to hear all about the great details that they are excited to share. So listen in and learn how to view the total solar eclipse safely right here from Ohio. Welcome back to a new episode of All Caring Conversations. I feel like this one is a once-in-a-lifetime moment. I get to geek out with two doctors today about the solar eclipse coming on this podcast. So welcome back, Dr. Jean Paddock, president of Altman College, and Dr. Hope Badaway, assistant professor of biology. Dr. Paddock, you're officially a repeat guest, so welcome back to the program.
I feel honored. This is kind of a one-off episode where we get to talk a lot about science. So you have two women scientists who have spent some extra time learning about the solar eclipse. Neither of us, amazingly, are astronomers or
that's okay.
Specializing in that area, but we took a little extra time because we knew our community was interested in learning more about the solar eclipse. So excited to be here. Thanks for having us.
Yes, definitely. Dr. Badaway, you're new here. So please, I'd love for you to share a little bit about your journey here and at Altman College.
Well, journey it is, I suppose. I'm mostly teaching biology courses to our nursing students, pathophys, microbiology, but you know, science in general is my passion. So when I was asked to start to geek out about this stuff, I was on board 100%.
I love it. I love it. Oh, so let's start with the basics of like what to expect with a solar eclipse and why is this one so special?
So I'll start it off. And what I would tell you is this is, for many people, depending on your age, a once in a lifetime opportunity. So what's special about this particular eclipse is it's a total solar eclipse that's happening in Northeast Ohio. So there are total solar eclipses that happen around the world at different time spans, but we will not have this opportunity to see this again in a long, long time. So in short, the moon is going to block the light from the sun as it travels to Earth. So the shadow of the moon will be cast onto the Earth. And what's interesting is that lineup, I wish you could see me with a podcast, so I'll try to describe it as best I can without a visual. In order for that perfect lineup to happen, for the sun, the moon, and the Earth to be perfectly aligned, and the moon to be close enough to the Earth that it's large enough to cover the shadow, the sun, and create the shadow, is so rare. Not only do the orbits have to be aligned, each orbit is on a tilt, so the tilts of the orbits have to be aligned. It just can't happen on any given day. It's going to be very special, and we're looking at that in a week. On Monday, April 8th is going to be our time frame. And Dr. Badaway can tell you a little bit about how fast that shadow will travel and maybe describe a little bit about the path of the eclipse.
Yeah. Oh, I'm up. So, yeah. So one of the facts that I learned as I was digging in is that the shadow, the moon shadow, is going to be moving at about 1,200 miles per hour across the surface of the Earth, which is very fast. I've read some anecdotal reports that you could actually see if you're on a flat, long, you know, very large flat area, that you can actually see the shadow moving across the Earth, which is unfathomable to me. And I'm a microbiologist, so this is going from very tiny things to very large things that you still can't really wrap your head around. But yeah, so we should be able to see the shadow move, especially if you're on the outsides of totality, right?
When you start breaking it down like that, that's incredible. You know, the alignment, the speed, exact, you know, tilt and all of that. That's just so hard to, like you said, wrap your mind around. Now, you called this a total eclipse, Dr. Paddock. What does that mean? There's different types of eclipses?
Yes. So the totality that we talk about, or you've heard about on the news, means that the sun will be completely obscured. It will be as though we have total darkness and nighttime in the middle of the day. Now, it's going to be a short amount of time because Dr. Badaway just told you that moon shadow is moving very quickly. So we're only going to have, depending on where you are in the path of totality, just a couple of minutes where the sun is totally blocked. You'll experience a temperature change. We're looking at different behaviors of animals. It's just going to be a really interesting experience. I wish I could tell you what to expect. I've never seen it, so I'm not sure either. Right. I'm going to be just as excited as everyone else, standing there waiting to see what happens. So that means that there will be no light for the sun. So when you hear the word totality, think of totally covered. There are other types of eclipses. You may have remembered in 2017 in this area, we had a partial eclipse where the lineup of the sun and the moon and the earth wasn't quite perfect. So only part of the sun was covered. And that leaves like a little crescent of light that is still coming through. And I definitely remember that. I was at college at that time and we watched in the parking lot.
Yep.
And had the little neighborhood party there. But it wasn't the same as totality. It was still, there was the light of day. The sun was visible in that crescent shape. So that's the easiest example. There's also something called an annular eclipse, where everything is lined up, but the moon is not quite close enough to the earth to totally cover the sun's light. So you end up with a little ring of light around the shadow of the moon. So again, it is not totality. It is not darkness in the middle of day. So those are the three main types that I like to point out to people that seem kind of familiar. Most people will think, I remember something and it wasn't that long ago. I think we had, it was an eclipse. Yes, but it was a partial eclipse. It wasn't totality like we're expecting next week.
All right. So Dr. Badaway, there's different stages as we approach the eclipse on that particular day, and they have special names and references. Can you explain what those are and what they mean?
Sure, can try. I'm a hand talker and I like visuals. So
I know.
I'm always, you know, but so I suppose if you're a physicist or an astrophysicist, these terms might make more sense. But so there's four contacts that they speak of between the moon and the sun, essentially, right? They're not obviously coming in contact, but what we see from that. First contact would be when that first tiny little nugget is eclipsed or is blocked of the sun, right? Second contact is when we hit totality, when everything is lined up perfectly. Third contact is when we start getting a little bit of light coming back from the sun. And then fourth contact is when that last little bit finally shoots off to the side and we can get our sunshine back. So those are the, and I suppose those are things you can look for, right? When you're looking up, but there's some other, there's a couple other really cool things that you can see. Mind you, if you do it safely, right? We'll talk about that momentarily, but we gotta do it safely. But right before the sun is completely blocked, we get what's called Bailey's beads. Bailey's a scientist that noticed this, but there are mountains and valleys on the surface of our moon. And so the light from the sun can shimmer through those valleys on the last few seconds before totality. So these beads are the shimmering of the last little bits of light, essentially through these valleys on the moon. And on top of that, right near the same time, we have what's called the diamond ring. And that's when we get that actual last little bit of sun that shimmers in the corner like a diamond. And you can get that before totality and after totality as the moon moves out of the sun, that shadow moves. So you can look for those Bailey's beads before and after, and you can look for that diamond ring, and that's just the sun just working its way through there, right? Trying to shimmer in there. Another thing that, of course, the big thing, and this is what's going to bring a lot of scientists to our area, is the corona that we can see of the outside of the sun. So that's going to be a big, that's the biggest thing, right?
Okay. That's amazing to know that there's names for that and little things to watch for, not just watching the whole, you know, sun be eclipsed. So how does our atmosphere play into this whole event?
Well, I'll start when Dr. Badawi talks about the corona of the sun being visible. The only time it's possible to see that is during a total eclipse. So that means that the light of the sun is blocked. So imagine a dark circle. hard to say how to see that in your mind's eye. But then what we'll see, and this is, we're going to talk about safe viewing. The only time during the eclipse that you can have a direct look at the sun, because the light is completely obscured. So you'll have just a couple minutes where you can look directly at the sun with no eye protection. And in that moment, the atmosphere that you'll see around the sun is called the corona. If you look at pictures online, it looks like wavy lines. It's possible to see solar flares coming off of the edge of the sun that makes those wavy lines look bright. I'm going to say brighter or darker, just look different at any time around that. And it's the outermost part of that solar atmosphere that we'll see. There are lots of discoveries that have been made in science over time during totality. My personal favorite, I'm a chemist, was the discovery of helium, was during a total solar eclipse. And Dr. Badawi taught me that Einstein's theory of relativity was proven during a solar eclipse.
Oh my God.
The way the light was able to be seen bending and just couldn't observe it at any other time besides totality. Dr. Badawi, what am I missing on corona or seeing the atmosphere of the sun?
Well, okay, you know I'm the fun fact girl. So first of all, the corona, temperature-wise, it's not the surface of the sun, right? But it's the atmosphere, is 2 million degrees Celsius. I don't know that, again, that's a big number and it doesn't really hold a lot, but it's hot.
Yeah.
It's hot.
Well, your friendly neighborhood chemist would say, water boils at 100 degrees Celsius. That gives you kind of a scale of relativity.
Yeah. So, I mean, that's one of the bigger things, that it's very hot there, which means we can have a lot of fun with elements on the sun because we can get a lot of fusion going on between elements. And that's what Jean was talking about with helium. And of course, the hydrogen that we can see, we might actually be able to see some glowing red coming off of the corona as well during the eclipse if we're lucky. And that would be reactions with hydrogen, making little projections off the surface of the sun, right?
That's amazing. I just didn't even know that you'd be able to see those kind of like minute details to us, but yeah, to watch for those. So let's talk a little bit about safety. We still have a few days to safely prepare for this event. What are your recommendations?
So obviously the most important thing to us is safe viewing for the eclipse. We want everybody to have excellent vision before and after the eclipse. So as you would not do on any normal day, you never want to look directly into the light of the sun. That can cause damage to your retinas. So the question is, how can I watch this? So there's a couple of different ways to do that. The easiest thing to do is to have a pair of solar viewing glasses. And those are almost ubiquitous. They're all over right now at different libraries and school groups. We have some at our college main office as well. So those glasses, you're going to wear those. If you want to look directly at the sun and watch the eclipse before totality, you must have some kind of an eclipse filter or solar glasses over your eyes. Absolutely must. The only time, Tracy, this is a pop quiz for you. When is the only time that you can take those glasses off?
When it's completely covered. That like two minutes. You said.
You just have a couple minutes where you can take those off and look directly. And then you're going to put them right back on to watch the rest of the eclipse as it finishes. The one thing I like to point out to people is to check the back of their solar glasses that they pick up. Most places are very reputable in selling great glasses. There is a safety requirement. It's an ISO number. We can give you information. You can drop in maybe resources for viewers that show where to look on the back of glasses and to make sure if it says meets the requirements for ISO and there's a string of numbers,
okay,
that your glasses are safe to view. The American Astronomical Society has a list of providers as well.
Yeah, so we'll have show notes with links.
Perfect.
Yeah, I just want to add that in my readings, apparently it was common for people to take radiographic paper or regular sunglasses and think that that's enough to protect their eyes. And so it's important that that's not enough to protect your eyes. It has to be really dark, like to the point where if you look through them without the sun, you're seeing nothing at all. Nothing.
Yep. I heard that was the test.
The other thing that's fun to do is you can build a really simple solar viewer. You can just Google it. Look online. It's a great kids project. You can use a shoebox, a big piece of white paper. You can put a pinhole through a piece of cardboard and it can project onto the white paper. Instructions for those are all over the internet right now. And that can be a fun family project this week or over the weekend to try a couple of different designs of solar viewers that allow you to watch the path of the moon as it crosses the sun without looking up. It projects it onto the ground.
Yeah, that's pretty cool. So do we have any other fun facts, Dr. Badawi? You said you're the queen of facts. Are there some others that we're missing? Dr. Paddock's shaking her head.
Yes.
She does. So many facts. Well, one of the things that I read about, which is interesting, is that in a short 600 million years, there will no longer be any total solar eclipses on Earth because the moon orbit is changing and the sun is expanding. So there will no longer be that perfect lineup. You know, the moon is 400 times smaller than the sun and happens to be at that perfect distance to block it. So any change in that will change that. So I thought that was,
fascinating.
Yeah.
Yeah.
A couple generations from now, but you know, it's still interesting. Also, if you look back in history, there's a lot of mythology around the world having to do with the eclipse, because could you imagine not understanding it and then all of a sudden your world goes dark, right? But a lot of the ecology or a lot of the mythology around it has to do with gods, you know, gobbling up the sun and then escaping. And a lot of times it's some sort of lizard or reptile or serpent that's doing that. And it really translates across cultures, which is very interesting.
That is.
You know, wars have been ended because of solar eclipses in the past. So it's just, it's endlessly fascinating to me. Yeah. Besides Gene spoiled the Einstein thing, but you know.
That's okay.
But yeah, I mean, there's so many. But.
Yeah. So I'm sure we'll have some books and maybe some other information that we can link in the show notes that you can share, because that's fascinating. Like you said, just fascinating. It's probably endless.
Oh, yeah.
And it's interesting that we have a biologist with us today, because there's a real correlation between the eclipse and biology. Isn't that correct, Dr. Badawi?
Absolutely. I mean, a couple different, I suppose you can split it into two categories, right? The biology of your eyeballs is one. Right? Because if we're protecting our eyes, there's obviously biology going on there.
Yeah.
But also behavior of animals and insects and, you know, birds specifically can change, right? If mammals and other animals and even insects rely on light as cues, when we change the light, we change their cues and it can disrupt migration patterns. It can wake up nocturnal species.
Yeah.
It can get all the mosquitoes flying around. Flying insects will start to wake up. Those animals that are out in the daytime will think it's time for bed and will go roost for the night. I mean, a lot of the evidence we have, though, is anecdotal, because how do you study during a 2-minute eclipse, right? So a lot of, I mean, there are studies out there. Like there's studies on cows in which they watch them before, during, and after an eclipse, and they didn't even change behavior at all. But then there's other studies where birds are wild behaviors are starting to occur. They're roosting. They're doing things that they wouldn't normally do. And the biology of it is actually kind of fascinating, right? We have a circadian rhythm, mm-hmm. 24 hours. And in, a lot of times in birds, especially with migration patterns, melatonin is being secreted in the brain on a rhythmic schedule so that light doesn't have as big an effect on them, because what if there's clouds, right? They still need to know to migrate. So the thought was that birds wouldn't be affected as much by the eclipse because of this melatonin being secreted on a rhythmic, but it turns out a lot of birds are. So I think that's a big question mark as to what light does to us, you know, for higher order beings like ourselves, maybe not as much, right? Confusion maybe.
Yeah.
But for birds, flies, you know, mosquitoes, whole other story, right?
Exactly.
Well, and I'll pitch in.
Yeah.
I was just going to add. So you might see professional scientists out. You might see students out in groups, depending on where you are, because they're going to do research work that can only be done on these rare occasions. But you don't have to be a professional scientist like Hope and I to record data. So we're in an era where a lot of people have smartphones and a lot of people have access to computers. There are so many citizen science apps available. My favorite is iNaturalist, where there are calls being put out saying, any observations that you make, please enter them into your apps and be a citizen scientist.
I love that.
Because that data can be collected by places like the Cornell Lab of Ornithology that studies bird behavior, and something you put in can be aggregated with other observations, and you're contributing to the learning that's happening during events like this. So please don't think that you have to be special or specially qualified. You just have to do a little bit of work to observe what you're doing and record it and submit it. And that will be checked by professional scientists and then put into data pools to help us all learn and grow a little bit from the data that we gather during this event.
Yeah, that's so important. I'll make sure we link that app. That's awesome. Oh my gosh. So I want to know, you mentioned in 2017, we all gathered out in the parking lot. Do you have any special activities planned around this event this year?
So for Altman College, we are headed to Altman Orville's campus. So that is why. Why would you go somewhere? There are only specific areas that will experience totality.
Yep.
And it's basically the width of the moon's shadow. And depending on where you are in that path, depends on how much time you will have to spend in totality. So we'll give you a link to put in the show notes.
Perfect.
It's an interactive map that you can pinpoint where you'll be. So we chose Orville because Altman had a campus there. So our college community and alumni and friends is gathering there along with Altman Orville's community. And that's where we'll be. Now, for the most flexibility, I tell people, you want to watch the weather, because obviously this is all dependent upon clear skies. And it is Ohio and it is April. So we don't know what our weather will be. We're starting to get close today. During this recording, we're 7 days away from the eclipse. So we're starting to get into a window of some amount of predictability with a forecast.
Yeah.
You really want to go where there's the most totality. You watch the weather. See where the skies will be the clearest. Play around on that interactive map.
Yeah.
And then have a plan to travel. But to do it safely, have a full tank of gas and some snacks in your car in case you encounter a lot of traffic or heavy travel during those days, because other people might be thinking the same thing.
Yeah. Definitely. Our darn atmosphere.
Right?
Oh my gosh. This has been fascinating. Are there any other points that I'm missing that you wanted to bring up as we close?
I was just thinking while we're talking about experiencing it wherever you are. I think one of the overreaching themes that as I was reading, I'm on my third book already on the eclipse, but as I'm reading is that don't get wrapped up in trying to videotape it and watch it every second. Instead, take a second, listen to your surroundings, soak it all in, hear what people are saying, you know, notice the nature, like Jean was saying, go onto your apps, record some stuff, like just soak it all in. Don't just stare, but take it all in, right? I mean, we can take pictures, right? We can take pictures of the eclipse with filters on your, don't ruin your cameras on your phones. You got to put a filter in front of it. If you're using your phone, you got to filter it. Don't spend all your time behind a lens, right? Soak it all in, enjoy it. Like Jean says, most of us probably won't be alive for the next total eclipse here. So gotta soak it in while we can.
Such a good point. And please don't try to view it while driving.
Right.
Fair point.
Yes. Fair point. Remind everybody of that.
Get out, stop. I love Dr. Bradaway, how you describe that. Just be present in the moment. It's going to be such a unique experience. Really excited to share it with everybody.
Oh, this has been great. Thank you both for geeking out with me. I am such a geek, so this was great to have two strong female scientists with me today. I appreciate your time. I have so many links to add to the show notes, so I'm very excited to share that. And if anyone has any questions, they can always send us a message at whereyoumatter@altcare.com, and I can get that to both Dr. Bradaway and Dr. Paddock. So thank you again. Have a wonderful experience viewing the eclipse, and we will talk to you next time. Thanks again.